We'll date the tape. Today is the 7th of April, 1997.
Are we ready? Are we on the air?
Yes.
Someone respond, please.
Yes, we are.
This is a first. Therefore, I'm going to have to identify myself. First of all, I want to identify my speaker. My speaker is simply a translator. If I spoke Russian and no one else in the room spoke Russian, we would not communicate well without a translator. I'm not into tricks. I'm not into magic. I am into God. And that God, by the ancient Egyptian name, was easily and most currently recognized as Aton. In symbolic language, that's H-A-T-O-N-N. The first symbol, which you call an H, is silent. The last N, which you call a little humpbacked symbol, is also silent. But it is so that you will not call me Hatton, H-A-T-T-O-N. I am not Hatton. My name is Yorgos, G-Y-E-O-R-G-O-S, Ceres, C-E-R-E-S, Hatton or Aton. Put an apostrophe, A-T-O-N, apostrophe. In Greek, there is a small H symbol that represents the silent H. We don't play games other than we have a great sense of humor, and we are most grateful that you ones have been willing to come here and experience such a really dull show. I don't want you in any way to consider this as an entertainment program. I could entertain you for quite some time, but I'm trying to bring some kind of reasonable understanding about who I am, why I am, and why she happens to serve in this manner. The glasses are not magic. They are simply dark glasses with bifocals. She doesn't see well anymore if she has to read something. The lights are extremely difficult on her eyes, and I use them like 8 hours a day to write at a computer, so I have to protect them. If her eyelids were open, she would be staring right straight in front of her, or she may respond if someone makes a loud noise. Otherwise, she is being attentive to her speaking. Period. We're not Jay-Z Knight and Rumtha. If you want a 35,000-year-old nitwit, go to Jay-Z Knight. If you want old Mafu to dance on your pinhead, go to Penny Torres, who has become a swami or something. I am of the hosts of God. And your world's in a mess. And that is your business. Absolutely your business. So what might I be doing this for? Why would I want to do this? Because God promised you that before the ending of the age, and the age comes to an end with the millennium, don't put anything more on that than I just said. Every age, in my own vernacular, ends at the end of a millennium and the beginning of a next. Major changes usually come upon whatever is happening at the given moment of civilization. And worse than that, the prophecies come down from all of your religious sects, cults. You see, you can literally use the term cult properly when you're talking about religious churches and religious orders or any club. Because cult is nothing more than a gathering or a group of people who believe in a given idea. So all of us have to understand that you no longer treat the word cult appropriately, do you? After a while, I'm going to get even nastier. Because in this town, you have cults, but this isn't one of them. We have always asked people if they wanted to be with us, don't fudge and scrounge and come in under false pretenses. I at least like your attitude to come in with your cameras. Let me tell you why. We have not used cameras, and I believe that any of you with a mother will understand this. This woman is 66 years old. She has 8 children and 11 grandchildren. And it isn't pleasant to see your mother's picture that was not to have been taken, splattered across the world as a cult leader. Simply because she can understand me and speak for me and write for me. There are others in this room that likewise serve, both myself and some of my compatriots. I am not interested in your religious dogmas. I am sent, if you will, on a mission. No matter what happens in your world as you have structured it, it is going to be pretty rotten as you make a transition either into developing and creating a better way of living, better government. You don't have any government. Except of criminals. The reason that you were summoned at this particular time is there is one case going on in Nevada where the one who came here after having read a couple of the transcripts of my teaching, if you want to call it teaching, it was simply about UFOs, Space Gate, etc. And they called his name Emmanuel, and I didn't even translate it. I didn't even give it to her. But Mr. George Green came here because he wanted to publish these books. Was that good news or bad news? It doesn't matter. I consider it excellent news. Because I don't have the same problems that you ones do with needing sensationalism to sell an evening broadcast, regardless of who it hurts. But Mr. Green came here with America West Publishers. And yes, he was going to publish. And then, oh, we have to get this word out. And then the joy begins. In the process, the Phoenix Institute was formed, was incorporated in Nevada. And we intend to fully intend to have a major institute in Nevada. Oh, God's going to Sin City. You damn right. And the next thing always comes is God wouldn't say damn either. Who said? Somebody tell me who gave you the pronouncement that God is some pious idiot sitting in an invisible cloud somewhere. Why don't you demand truth? But you don't demand truth. You demand right in a court of law that people lie. And it embarrasses me. In the process, a beautiful, beautiful friend of mine, David Overton from Austin, Texas, a mathematics professor at the University of Texas, sent 4 packages of gold for the use of our institute because we had moved into a constitutional law center. And I do wish the head of that center were here today. There is nowhere left in this world for your citizens to go to get help against the judicial system that has become so corrupted that only do you get jokes and dirty jokes at that about lawyers. What a shame has come upon that profession. Mr. Overton sent 4 packages simply through UPS. And he had to send them in care of Mr. Green because that is the only address there was. The Eckers wanted no attention. This woman wanted no attention. And the only way that she would continue to participate was to have no attention. Well, we couldn't pull that one off, could we? He took the shipments of gold, this Mr. Green, to Bear Valley behind a closed gated community and hid it. Nobody knew. But Mr. Rick Martin was working in his office, basically as the office manager, and he even signed for a couple of these packages. He didn't know what they were. Mr. Green nearly had a breakdown when he saw somebody else had touched them, and whoop, away they go. And it wasn't too awfully long after that that he decided he better get his ass to Nevada. But guess what? By then, we had written 50 books. He had borrowed from the Institute $150,000. On a promissory note that he said was to help pay for these books, although some of the books he published had nothing to do with what we were doing. So when he went to Nevada, he wanted also to take the paper, which was called The Liberator. And Big Daddy, me, said, "No way, Jose. You are not going to destroy this paper. You do whatever you feel you need to do, Mr. Green, but you will not take this paper and turn it into a rag sheet, some kind of a tabloid, because it is the conduit for we, the people, and truth." And you would not be surprised at how many politicians, etc., have tried to close it down. We were accused of being in the CIA. Well, I want to tell you, if this is the CIA, you have the rottenest bunch of paymasters in the nation. Now, Mr. Green went, and everybody who knew Mr. Green and had anything to do with anyone went out to Bear Valley and helped him pack up to move. Because they're nice people in this community. There's still nice people in this community, but there's some very, very bad people in this community, as I'm sure there are in every community. Well, Mr. Green took his gold, said it was a gift, later to the court. You know, this nice Dave Overton just sent it to Desiree to pay her Neiman Marcus bills? No, thank you. He carried that gold across a state line. He took it He claimed later, and it seemed to have added up when the police got into it, that he buried it in his backyard. And no one knew about it. So time goes on. And we find that he has something else going. A constitutional law center was formed and established and in Sacramento office. So people would also send a contribution to establish the Constitutional Law Center, who also borrowed the money from the Phoenix Institute to become established. In the same suite of offices, another institute called the Common Law Service Center or something like that also borrowed and now owes back the institute over $100,000 they bought to establish in there. This one was headed by a Mr. Gary Anderson. I am naming names, and everybody in this room better be aware of it. Mr. Green has a wonderful, cute little saying. How do you know when the Eckers are lying? When their lips are moving. Well, I think that today the lips are going to move. And Mr. Green will wish that he were somewhere else. Mr. Green was receiving donations of cash, gold, and checks made out to the Constitutional Law Center. He would forward them, he said. He certainly did. He forwarded them to the secretary of Gary Anderson, who took them out of the mail, gave them to Mr. Gary Anderson of the Common Law Service Center, also known at that time as We the People. Mr. Green would send the checks. Sylvia would get them and then send them on to Gary Anderson, and they had a bank set up in Colorado. Kirk County Bank. But they got caught because one lady from Florida sent $2,700 and she didn't even get an acknowledgement. Not even a thank you. So when the tracers went out, oh, the shenanigans that went on then were enough to amuse us. You see, always some of you journalists have to ask, what amuses you? What do you do for entertainment in places like Pleiades? And I always say, we just watch you. You should have seen what went on from then on. And the threats against the bank, if you reveal this information, you cut a check for a cashier's check for $2,700 and you mail it back to Mr. Green. And then goes the letter, you know, I don't know how we got this. It must have been a mistake. Well, we tracked many, many checks. And would you believe the audacity of the crooks involved? Two of them were $1,200 each from David Overton. Mr. Green was already sitting on $350,000 buried in his yard. Well, we don't play these games. So immediately it was requested that a notice be placed in this paper that's now called a contact to anyone out in anywhere that has mailed in any money, any gold that has not been acknowledged, if you have not been thanked, if you have not received a note, because the basic absolute plan of the Institute was to issue a note and never even take donations, only loans that could be repaid. Well, Mr. Overton immediately got in touch, and he said, well, I don't know. I'm caused to wonder. I'm caused to wonder. And finally called E.J. and said, I don't think you may know. I sent $350,000 worth of gold coins in 4 shipments. And here is a breakdown of what each box contained. Maple leaves, Krugerrands. He had been saving them for years. He had no family. And he wanted to use his earnings, and we later became extremely close friends with this man. And right to this day, in that court in Nevada, after this David Overton, in his 80s, went and testified before Judge Gamble, that court has still held his gold. And the judge himself said to return that gold to its owner. There was absolute proof that he had both intended his gift to go to the Phoenix Institute for research and education. He even wrote an assignment for it. And it's been 4 years. And the lawyers of George Green have filed every petition right up to the Supreme Court of the United States to try to get their legal fees out of it, if nothing else. The Supreme Court of Nevada has on 2 occasions ordered that judge to turn over that gold. They have labeled the man an embezzler and a swindler and said he was guilty of taking the gold. And still nothing. Well, last week, the judge was right up against it. And how nice of them in San Diego to commit suicide, which I'm going to tell you journalists right now, was not so. That is outright murder. And they're going to tear down that house so that you will have no evidence. So I'm going to leave George Green a minute. I'm going to talk about that cult versus us. And then before we break this up, I would like to play what you ran so that we can rebut, item by item, the things that are incorrect. Not the least of which, something extremely important here, I think you'll all understand, is the fact that I am not 8 feet tall. Thank you. That's great. If I can have, just give me some information when you're ready to film or go on.
Okay, if you want to pick up from what you just started about your appearance, what you were saying.
Well, I was joshing about that because that, of course, is absolutely of no importance. But I want to take an opportunity here to speak very, very seriously about what comparisons were made. I can understand your possibly, I'm not sure that I can even understand that because we don't spend a lot of time harping on UFOs, etc. Unidentified flying objects are all over your skies all the time, both alien and friendly. And if an airplane flew over right now from Edwards Air Force Base and everyone in this room went out there and looked at it, you would not be able to identify it. So the term unidentified flying object is a misnomer. It is a silly. And if spacecraft is supposed to look like an upside-down saucer, fine. All of you who can't think of a better aerodynamic description of it, please understand I'm not offended, but it certainly is silly to call them flying pans, flying bowls, and flying saucers. And the garbage that you get back that this is supposed to be an alien craft embarrasses me more. But there is a similarity. And if you could be here at 8 o'clock this evening and the skies are clear, I will show you Hale Bopp. I will show you Pleiades constellation. And I will show you spaceships. So let's not take this game any further in its silliness. They spoke of Sirius? What in the soup is Sirius? Oh, it is a spacecraft floating along behind Hale Bopp? What in the soup would it be doing following along in the wake of Hale Bopp? And how many of you have any notion how silly that comet is? If you have weightlessness in space, and you have a moving object which is also weightless, why does it have a great huge trail? Does anyone want to answer that for me? And why would one trail be blue and the other be orange? Well, if you have something in your atmosphere moving at a rapid rate of speed, you're going to leave a particle trail, aren't you? And the higher you get, and you get into an ice zone, a condensation trail is going to appear like a cloud, isn't it? If you have rapid movement of an object in space, and it looks like this, you may have traversed 10 billion miles, for goodness sakes. And it's going to be a sharp silver light that is there and then there. So if you've got any kind of contamination in your atmosphere, you're going to spew a trail. Now that's logic. That is not mysticism. That is logic. And don't give me some garbage about Sirius. There is a Sirius at the end of one of your constellation belts. And it does run rainbow lights. Sometimes it runs rainbow strobe lights. It is a skymark. It is a galactic landmark, if you will. So let's go back to this assumption that this man Applewhite, you see, to try and keep you from doing what you've done with Applewhite, who wanted his role. Dorma doesn't want this role. She's not the leader of anything, much less other people's lives. So if he enjoyed it, he may have it. But I can go right down your Ten Commandments. And I'm not going to dwell on the one that the church is made up on the holy day. You know, Sabbath to keep it holy and pay your 10%. Those are man-made. And anybody wants to argue with me, we can take your holy Bible from its beginning to its end. Is there truth in it? Of course. But it has been built to suit mankind. And first of all, King James of England. And it's true of the Quran. It's true of the Torah. It's true of the Talmud. The Talmud is not even argumented over. It was written by the Khazarian elders of Zion to suit the human element. And they won't even argue with you. And so don't come back here saying I'm anti-Semitic. I want to tell you something about everybody in this room. Almost all of you are Semitic. And you can tell me I'm not a Jew. I didn't say anything about Jew. I am talking about coming from the tribe of Shem. That makes you Semitic. So if there's anything I might be, it's anti-religion as man tosses down his doctrines on you. But I am pro laws of God and laws of the creation. Thou shalt not kill. 39 of them broke the law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Father Creator said, and they all put Mr. Applewhite before God, didn't they? And they're going to romp off with space cadets and cause the space cadets to break the laws of God and creation? I don't think so. And you notice all those bodies laying around on those beds. Well, I am not impressed with space cadets that can't get a living body on board a craft. I mean, even Dr. Spock could do that. And suicide is nothing but murder, and what happened down there was murder. In every form of suiciding. And they have to castrate themselves so they can control their horrible impulses to rape women and little children or something? Spare me. We'll skip adultery. Because God leaves it right up to you. Absolutely right up to you. Whatever you do, kill, steal, thieve, anything you do is between you and God. And unless it encroaches on our property or our beings, it's your business and none of ours. So I don't get up and I don't spiel off, you have to do this. What I have done is practically get this poor speaker on her knees and plead with people to leave us alone. We have a job. Why do you keep coming here? Why do you dump your presence on us even after we ask you to go? And I don't mean you. Forgive me. I think this is a good afternoon. I think this is a really good afternoon. Because I am tired of all your false teachers out there. Now, just supposing, and one say, well, just give us a glimpse of you. Do you know that one day in this room with Betty Tootin, the one that you spent so much time with, I lit this lady up like a golden sunbeam. And everybody in the room saw it but Betty Tootin, for whom we did it. So we're not in the magic games. And if a 9.5-foot energy form floated up here onto this platform, I couldn't cram my energy into the space, and you would have every nitwit from here to the to serious, yes. But let's get serious.
Either that or basketball coaches.
Now let's talk about some more of those God commandments. Thou shalt not take from your enemy or your friend. Either one. Thou shalt not steal. What did these 39 people do? They made a pact with the person who owned the home to not ever have more than 7 people in that place. I believe they keep saying 39 with their plastic baggies in the trash. Somebody had to take those off their heads. So somebody was guilty of assisted murder. Maybe that is Dr. Kevorkian at work. Assisted suicide. These people did not even have the common decency to honor their contract with the owner of the property, committed 39 murders in that house, and brought the value of this man's property to zero. And yet we have to have our faces shown around the world as being similar in intent to this cult. No, thank you. We don't coerce. You will note something in this room. If you come, you will always be appreciated, and we will be as gracious as we can as a guest. There is a gentleman, Victor Stoney, in Canada, that wants to share any time that I will have a meeting. And he sent enough funds, barely enough. We never have enough. But he said, please, when you do have the friends in or you're willing to share, can I buy the cookies? And that's what we use it for. I personally don't eat cookies. So I don't think they've done it in honor of me. It is a friend who wants to share with those he feels are his friends. We don't have any members. What is this? We have no members. This is the most impossible, largest cult of one I have ever seen in my life. These are good people. Dr. Tracy over here is an English professor. Dr. Young is a physicist and an engineer, holding doctorates. We do not go out in flat bed sheets at the stars. We are more sophisticated than that. If you want to get my attention, walk out and say, all right, I'm going to be out here to the east looking at you. Would you give me a sign? I'll be very happy to do that. But you see, you're a light year or two away. So give me a couple of seconds. We command the craft by thought projection. And anyone lesser than that, that comes like your little idiot baby ETs, could not get across the street, much less across the cosmos. So Hatan is not popular. We don't leave any fun and games bullshit. We have such fun and games, it makes me sick to watch you waste your time in garbage. You are the most superb, perfect creation of God Creator. And you don't even know what your liver does. How many in here can tell me what your hypothalamus does? How about your adrenaline glands on top of your kidneys? Or did you know they were there? You are the most exquisite piece of working machinery. And yet, when the machinery dies, it is because the life essence has removed itself. And the controllers of this world want you to believe you're helpless. God gives you the power of creation in your own hands. You don't have to live in this stinking environment of corruption and lies. Why don't you do something worthy and create that way, that freedom? Truth is freedom because you quit believing the lie. So do they want to get rid of Hatan? Do they want to really get rid of the Eckers? Or are they trying to save their own ass because of their own guilt? Well, that's what it is with your ex-judge, Jason Brent. He was in a conspiracy with the Savings and Loan Bunch, the RTC. And through the courts, they could just seize your property. Didn't even have to have auctioneers on sale day. Was all taken care of. And 9 years later, it's still being taken care of. They even have to give a fixed judge to preside over the case so that it never gets to a trial. 9 years, and no one has been able to even speak except attorneys. And finally, they take away the entire case, put it in limine. Oh, you can go in there and say whatever you want, but we're going to give you exactly 5 minutes before a jury, and you can't mention Jason Brent, Stephen Horn, you know, all of the ones that were guilty. And you can't mention that you went to the sale with money in hand and there was no sale. Can't mention that to the jury. Well, I prod my own people quite a lot. Because just when you think there are no other ways, you just haven't thought of them yet. I like Dr. Schuller's positive thinking, possibility thinking. When you think you have exhausted all of the alternatives, remember this, you haven't. And you have now. And I thank you graciously, you gentlemen from Extra, because the enemy revealed themselves. They put it on tape. It went around the world. And that is called grand conspiracy racketeering. And I'm glad you're back here this day. I don't really care what you think of me. I would hope that you can find truth in something that I say. I hope that something sounds reasonable to you, because I feel very often that in one-to-one communications, we understand each other better than in having to write words on a piece of paper that are never understood well. I'm not at war with your world. You're going to do whatever you will do with your world. It saddens me because it doesn't have to be as the prophecies project upon you. And yet you all know, if you continue as you are this morning, just this morning,